ManjiCast, the podcast that you never made a deal with. We're also the show that didn't make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, but we do provide an Asian perspective into the galaxy far, far away. I'm your host, Bria, and with me are my co-hosts, Brian and Jay.
Hello.
Hello.
On today's episode, we are talking about all things Bodhi Rook, so sit back and enjoy the ManjiCast, and hopefully we won't get blown up on Scarif.
That would be bad.
I mean, yeah.
Don't have Death Stars aimed in our faces either.
Yeah, I kind of like not getting blown up on Scarif.
Well, I mean, no, it's very pretty at least. So if we're going to die by Death Star, at least we'll get a nice speech scene.
This is true.
Yeah. So when I sat down to write the podcast notes, guys, I actually realized this is the first male character we're focusing the show on. I don't know how that happened. It was not on purpose, but I feel like it's very appropriate that we're giving Bodhi some recognition since he kind of tends to slide under the radar when we're talking about Rogue One. But yeah, so this is what happens when we pick a character on the fly in our previous episode.
Yeah, oh, who needs to plan way out in advance? Not us.
I mean, usually me. Okay, so should we get this started?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jay, before we go too much further, I lied. Set yourself back to 100. Sorry, technical details behind the scenes. But yeah, we're good to go.
All right, we're good?
Yep, we're good.
All right.
Yep, we're good.
So before we started the episode, I was really excited because we have a section in our notes that goes, and then there's this, ... And I didn't have anything written down. And I was really excited because for a minute I thought we could just be like, yes, no one screwed up. We can just be like, yay, Black Panther. And then Jay.
It's more like, and then Netflix, really.
Okay. But it's more fun to say it this way.
Sure. But here's the story. We found out this week that Jared Leto was cast as the leading character in a Netflix movie called The Outsider. That's set in Japan and it's about the Yakuza. But he's playing an American soldier who's indebted to the Yakuza and who knows what else. It reminds me of The Last Samurai or any other movie where random American or outsider joins some Asian culture and takes over the story. And I just want to ask, why does this keep happening?
There's Jared Leto back on his bullshit.
It's Jared Leto. Are we even surprised?
I can't wait to find out about the method acting crap that went into this one.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I just hope that, and I'm going to slip some Black Panther appreciation in here anyways, that Black Panther will teach the world and teach Hollywood that you can tell a story about a non-Western culture and not cast a white person as the lead. People will still go see it.
A lot of people, it turns out.
Oh, who would have thought? Where's Black Panther at now? 700 million worldwide in just 2 weekends?
Yeah, I think I saw something about it being only the fourth movie to cross 100 million on its second weekend.
Yeah, so it seems like it's done pretty well for itself.
Yeah, not too bad. So, but yeah. Hollywood.
But yeah. In any case, Jared Leto doing his thing, whitewashing another role, whatever.
Just once, guys. Just once. Give us 1 month where we don't have to say, and then there's this. That's all
it's,
I ask.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. They're always going to keep giving us ammo.
Well, on a happier note, do you guys want to talk about Bodhi?
Let's absolutely talk about Bodhi.
So, what's the first thing that comes to your guys' minds when I say Bodhi?
He's a pilot.
Rogue Padron.
Do you want to explain that one, Brian?
I know. There's another show out there that you should all listen to because the hosts are delightful called Rogue Padron, and it features a ton of inside jokes, and every week they give out glistening Bodhis to the best listener responses to questions they ask. So, Rogue Padron, I'm giving you another plug on yet another one of our shows.
Are we giving them a glistening Bodhi for their glistening Bodhis?
No, but they should be giving me a glistening Bodhi.
I like that one. All right, get on that, Padron. But, so, Like I said before, it seems fitting that we're giving, instead of looking at Chariot or Baze first, that we're looking at Bodhi first, because he seems to kind of get ignored a little bit in a lot of the Rogue One discussions and in the merchandise, looking at you, literally every toy manufacturer ever. But kind of let's go back to when we first saw, because I don't necessarily have a clear memory of when he was cast. I don't know if you guys do.
I don't think so, but I wasn't paying attention to casting, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when he was cast. I mean, my first big memory is just the cast photo.
Yeah, the one from San Diego Comic-Con. What was it?
Yeah.
2015?
Yeah, it was either 2015 or 2016.
Time means nothing anymore.
I know, yeah, it's all so just a blur.
So there was that picture, and then we saw Bodhi, we saw Jin, we saw Cassian, we saw the whole main team. So what were your guys' first reactions when you saw Bodhi there?
Holy crap, this is a very brown cast and I love it.
There was an Imperial cog on the shoulder, which was really cool.
Of course that was the first thing you saw.
Typical Jay.
I did think it was undercover though. I didn't realize he would be a defector though, so that was kind of cool.
Same. I do remember I was at a friend's house and I saw working on costumes because it's me. And as soon as I saw the picture, like Brian, I noted how incredibly POC heavy it was. And I literally was rolling around on the floor with glee because look, they actually did the thing. I think I agree with you though, with the expectation that he was probably going to be like, because we thought this was going to be a heist film or more of a heist film than it ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember any of the broader fandom reactions when we first talked about this, when we first saw the picture?
I remember a very big backlash to the lack of women that were in it.
Mm. Yeah. Let's talk about that a little, guys, because I do want to talk more specifically about Bodhi, but obviously a big thing that Rogue One did was that it brought more people of color to the forefront, where there were actually three Asian men in a Star Wars film with names that we knew from the plot and not the credits. So Brian, I'm going to make you go first on this.
Okay.
What was your reaction to the backlash while at the same time seeing that representation on the screen that we hadn't really felt before?
I mean, I understood the backlash and I agreed with it to a degree, but it was a little disheartening to just have that jam the signal so much and drowning out just people of Asian descent seeing themselves in this promotional material, knowing that they were going to see themselves in a Star Wars movie as the leads for the first time ever. So it was, I had very mixed feelings about the backlash, let's put it that way.
How about you, Jay?
So I think my response at the time was fairly mellow in that for me, the significance was the fact that we had characters of Asian descent or Star Wars characters who were with actors of Asian descent. And the fact that people weren't focusing on that did bother me, I think, a little. But then I also didn't really care what they thought, because I mean, I guess for me it was more of a personal thing, like, wow, Star Wars is going somewhere, and I didn't want to sort of enter the fray, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I actually
just pulled up. Yeah, it makes sense, but of course then again, this is the Star Wars fandom where we almost have takes on everything. Actually, I just noticed I pulled the picture up again. I had completely forgotten that there were three random extras in the background of the picture.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There were.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're all guys, but I can't really tell. Let's see.
I'm pretty sure they're all guys.
Yeah. Obviously.
Probably didn't help.
Probably not. But then again, Rogue One itself did have a little bit of a problem with that.
Yeah.
God bless Alexander Freed for fixing that in the novelization to some extent. But looking at the picture, so you go around. So you've got Chariot in the bottom right. I know my right from my left. Baze is behind him. And then Jin's in the center, and then you have Cassian, and
then you have Big Starfighter, right?
No. Why are you
that
doing
was terrible. This? Terrible. If we're going to talk about terrible takes, we got to talk about that one and drag website a little bit.
That was a very terrible take because apparently Biggs Darklighter is now Hispanic. I don't know.
That's
website's wires were crossed.
Yeah, that one's right up with there with the Rex's the random ground commando and Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that I'm looking at this again, I'm realizing that Bodhi is the only one who's not basically straight on to the camera. Like, he's the only one who's actually doing something. And now I'm wondering if there's supposed to be some significance behind that.
That's a good point. Yeah, he's working on that thingamajigger.
Yeah. This was totally not in the notes, by the way, for anyone listening. This is just me going on a complete and utter tangent because I forgot how cool this picture was.
Oh, us going on tangents? That never, ever, ever happens.
Well, we're doing Jay's art corner a little bit early, except not really because you're not getting out of it, Jay. I just moved it to the bottom of the notes.
Oh, don't worry. I am well prepared for the art corner.
Excellent. So do we remember any of the other, like, whether it was based on the picture or, like, early trailers, do we remember either any of the expectations that we heard that people had or that we had for what sort of character Bodhi might be like? Like, once we found out a little more about him?
I was thinking maybe spy or something. The going along with the idea that he was, like, wearing an Imperial costume, I thought maybe he was, like, an intelligence undercover type of person or something. And he has a computer of some sort, so slicer even.
Yeah, for me it was a lot of wild mass guessing. We didn't have a whole lot to go on, so I was kind of going down Jay's path where some kind of undercover slicer, hacker, agent person just undercover in the Empire as part of the mission.
And that wasn't quite it, was it?
not even close, no.
No. And he told us several times what he was.
He was a slicer, right? A bartender? Yes. He's the bartender?
Yes. No. Jay. I'm the pod racer. There's a pod racer in the back.
Oh, God. Wait. Oh, no. Okay, you made me actually look at that picture to see if there was a pod racer in there.
No, there was a thing where people were like, that looks like a pod racer engine.
I mean,
did they really?
Kind of? I think it just looks more like any generic engine.
It's just a jet engine, yeah, but, you know.
Okay, but he is the pilot, so just a quick rundown of everything that happens with Bodhi and Rogue One. Feel free to jump in here, because obviously I wrote these notes while I was rewatching Rogue One, because I decided I hated my emotions and I needed to suffer. So it starts with him taking the mission from Galen to go to Saw Gerrera, where he gets captured by the Partisans and then interrogated, because I guess the Partisans don't believe in people defecting or having changes of hearts. And then,
or due process.
Yeah. Can you really have due process when you're not a government?
No, that's why they're evil traitors and terrorists and they should be arrested.
I walked right into that.
Yeah, you kind of set yourself up for that one.
All right, come on. Brian, you're supposed to have my back on this one. Come on, man.
Hey, I'm just pointing out when you put it on a tee for him.
Well, he does get interrogated by Saw and Borgullet.
And which I spent the next three viewings trying to figure out, what did he say? Bor what?
I feel so bad for Bodhi. Like, he doesn't deserve any of this. He's just trying to deliver a message. And instead, he just gets mind screwed by a tentacle thing. Like, what the heck?
It's like, just look at his USB stick already and let it be done with.
But no. Poor Bodhi.
Poor Bodhi indeed.
Yes. And he is actually from Jeddah, too. Because
yes,
he gets mentioned as being a local boy.
They mention him as a local boy.
Mm-hmm. So I thought it was interesting.
I was surprised they did so little with that, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's an offhand line, and then the fact that he comes from Jeddah doesn't matter at all, and he never brings it up.
Yeah, you would have thought that after, you know, when they have to flee because Death Star makes Jeddah City go boom like Death Stars do, you would have thought that maybe Cassian doesn't care, Jared or Baze might express some sympathy to him as well, since they've all just lost their home.
Yeah.
But
or even he used it as an explanation for a reason why, you know, why he was convinced by Galen to help, because, I don't know, his homeworld was being strip mined or something, you know, something to give him actual character and not just service to someone else's story. But what do we know?
I'm wondering if that is something that wound up getting left on the cutting room floor.
Well, from what we heard, there's a lot on the cutting room floor.
Because they sort of just like spliced this. Didn't they say that Gareth Edwards basically said he shot a bunch of scenes and then he just spliced together what works, pretty much?
Essentially, yeah.
That's a way to shoot a movie.
I mean, I guess it worked. It's a good movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not traditional, as far as I'm aware.
That's why we didn't get, like, any deleted scenes. I mean, I guess we got a little bit of stuff, but, you know.
Didn't you know all the trailers were deleted scenes? Come on, Jay. We got so many deleted scenes. But yeah, so like once they leave Jedha, they end up going to Edu. And Cassian being, and I say this with so much love for Cassian, but the man is not exactly terribly sympathetic.
He's very goals-oriented.
Yes. So he takes Bodhi with him to ID Galen so he can then, you know, shoot him in the head. Not Bodhi, the Galen.
So which one of these is your friend and mentor? That guy? Okay, cool. Let me shoot him.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of what we keep saying is Bodhi keeps being just sort of pushed to the side. Like, he just... I feel bad for him.
The poor guy just keeps being used by other people as cogs in their own machines, and it's really sad.
Especially after he left the Empire. You'd think, you know, the rebels would let him be an individual, but no, apparently they don't care about such things.
Although
go ahead.
This is actually a kind of interesting take on the Imperial defector. I mean, we're used to the Tychos out there that are welcomed a lot faster, but people are slow to warm up to Bodhi.
That's true. The suspicion was actually kind of refreshing and logical for once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were suspicious of Jin too, because if I can't remember if it was in both the movie and the novelization, but I know definitely in the novelization, everyone's like, why are we going to trust them? Like, she's a science officer's daughter and he was an Imperial like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I think one of the yelly voices of the meeting said something like that.
Yeah.
In the movie, too.
But meanwhile, if you're, you know, hot callous, you can just waltz in and it's fine. Not that that's...
Bodhi should have grown some sideburns, apparently.
Hot Bodhi?
Yeah. Let's make that a hashtag.
Oh, God. You first, Jay.
No, thank you.
Oh, boy.
Podrin's going to get at us for appropriating their trademarks.
It's not our fault that Bodhi looks... would never... Okay, I'm not going down that train of thought.
I will.
Go for it, Brian. Are you starting the hashtag right now?
Hot Bodhi? Yeah, I'll go there.
So, let's see. The Rebel Alliance. So, Cassian tries to bring him along so he can shoot Galen. That doesn't work. They go to the Rebel Alliance and they're like, hey, let's go blow up the space station. It's a good idea. That doesn't work. So what do they decide to do anyways? They decided to go and blow up, find the plans and blow it up themselves, which I thought was interesting when I was rewatching it this time, that like no one ever really asks Bodhi. He's just like, yeah, I'm going. Like, it's never a question of whether or not he's going to go with, which I thought was kind of sweet. Like, everyone, not that like they assumed, but that he was just like, well, obviously I'm gonna go and see this through.
Even tells them that they can, you know, they'd all fit in the ship and everything.
Yeah, it was a nice touch that sort of an arc there. By the end, he did have their trust,
and then he's Rogue One.
Yeah, he named the movie.
Yep, he made the sin that sealed his fate. He said the name.
Oh, well, I think all of their fates were kind of sealed from the start, but
just a little.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting, you know, once they, you know, he wasn't very good at coming up with excuses to the rebel controller. But once they get to Scarif, he's actually not bad at the whole subterfuge thing. Because like, he pulls it off with the gatekeeper, you know, him and K2, where they're like, okay, you know, we're going to do this. And then Cassian's like, you keep the engine running, your only way out of here. And then he's pretty good, like, once they, you know, bombs start going off, he gets the other guy and they're on the line and being like, oh, yes, I see rebels on pad 2. There's rebels on pad 4. And they fake well.
Yeah, he knows the protocols inside and out and can just use it against the Empire there. It's great.
I'm always telling people that knowing directives and protocols is important.
Yes, because
that's what you're always telling people.
Among other things.
Yeah, okay.
No protocol and have a fancy hat.
Precisely.
Can he sub in some fancy goggles instead?
I mean, he can work his way up through a fancy hat, I guess.
Okay, we'll get him one next time. And then I like this. He had what I called in the notes his hero moment, where he, you know, they have to get the plans off somehow. So he ends up being the one who's like, I'm going to get the communication wire out there.
Well, not only that, but he also has to sell the plans to the soldiers, right? Once he finds out from Radis's ship or whoever he's talking to that they need to find a way to bring the shield down, he has to convince the rebel soldiers and say, look, we need to go out there and do this. I know we're supposed to save the ship, but this is important. And he sells it.
Yeah, it kind of adds to how he doesn't have as much of an arc as some of the other characters, which we can jump down to the further in the notes if you guys want, but he does still have one. Like, there's a change from the Bodhi you see at the very start, and then the Bodhi we see more at the end when he gets the wires out, and then when he dies and he makes it count. Which actually, I guess that is the end of the Rogue One notes, because that's his time in Rogue One. Obviously, he was more, like I was going to say, he's more of a supporting character. Like, this is definitely more of, it's obviously Jin's story, and it's way more Cassian's story. But when I was watching, like, it seemed like he's obviously a supporting character, but it did feel to me like he had at least something of a character arc, like a subtle one, but it's there. And then there was more change in him than there was for, say, Chirrut and Baze. I don't know if you guys would agree with that or not.
I think more than Chirrut. I'm not sure a little more than Baze, but it's close.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't think I've ever really thought about it in relative terms, but it's certainly true that he's not a constant character, right? He starts off more furtive, and, you know, he wants to do this one thing because, you know, Galen convinced him to do it, to being more committed to the mission and being willing to put himself out there.
What would you guys have like wanted to see in terms of like more of a story for Bodhi if we've been able to get one within the film?
I mean, I think just more of his motivation. Like, I mean, the way he his arc shakes out is actually fine with me. I think, you know, the heroic ending and being able to use his skills and make a difference, that's all fine. I just think if we would have had a little bit more engagement about what it meant to him to be making a difference and why he was fighting against the Empire, so that way his sacrifice at the end had that personal connection, I think that would have sufficed.
Yeah, and I thought they also underplayed a bit how Jedha's destruction affected him. It would have played up more.
How so? Like, how would you have liked to expand upon that, Brian?
Well, Jedha was his home, and I mean, I know things in this movie happen at breakneck speed, but I'm not sure if we ever really see him react much to his home just being gone like that. It's just off to the next set piece for him, where we get quiet time for Jin and Cassian to sort of reflect, but we don't get to see that.
Do we think that has
time applied for Bodhi?
His experience with Borgullet? Because obviously that tentacle thing screwed with his mind a lot. So I'm sort of wondering, like, obviously he's doing better the further we get into the film, but I'm sort of wondering if he wasn't entirely okay again.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. He is in a kind of
I think you can use that to explain it.
He's kind of like,
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely use that to explain it. Still think it's a bummer. It wasn't looked at deeper, though.
So have we all read the Rogue One novelization or the comic?
I have read the novelization.
This works out well.
I've read the comic. So in
both of those, they get, or rather, not they. Sorry, this is what I'm trying to do when I'm reading my notes two lines at a time. Bodhi does get more in both the novelization and the comic.
Yeah, which is the perfect medium to expand on that.
He's the only one who hasn't gotten an extra story.
Yeah, you're right. He hasn't. I totally spaced on that. Cassian got extra material. Jin got extra material. Baze and Chirrut did, but Bodhi didn't.
You would have thought that would have been one that was built in, because I remember reading, like, one of the magazines or stories before the movie where they're saying, oh yeah, he's an Imperial transport pilot and he learns things and it makes him disillusioned with the Empire. So they had that outline for his character there. And it's just weird that they didn't explore it at all.
What sort of story would we have wanted to see about him? Because I was actually looking at his Wikipedia page, which there was more on there than I expected there to be. About his earlier life when he was apparently he tried to get into the Flight Academy, but I think it says his score is not being quite high enough to be a starfighter pilot, but he did qualify to be a shuttle pilot. If we got a little bit of more backstory on him, would we want to see more about like his life growing up on Jeddah? Would we want more of his relationship with Galen?
So I would have said something in between, like maybe an episode where he's transporting some cargo for the Empire and something bad happens. And that's when he sort of first gets turned on or disillusioned, turned on to the evils of the Empire, disillusioned by the Empire. So that way there's that seed there that his later conversation with Galen can have some impact on.
Yeah, something like that would have been great. Just some sort of little spark moment, not necessarily relating to Galen, but just seeing something that the Empire is capable of that doesn't
what
sit right
would
with him.
What you guys want to get that story in, like a comic, a middle grade book?
Either comic or middle grade,
I think would work well for that.
It
would be a cool story for kids to read.
Okay, but here's the next fun question: Who do you get to write it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
So one of the things about middle grade and YA is they've been routinely going outside of... we have a lot more books than we did before, so they're having to bring in a lot more authors, and they don't have like a pool of existing authors. But two, they've been willing to bring in a lot of people new to Star Wars. Like, that's one of the avenues they get into Star Wars writing, so it's entirely possible they could have found someone new, a person of color, person of a similar South Asian background, who knows, that maybe I'm not familiar with. They could have found someone.
Well, that's what I'm trying to...
You know, I'm actually going to have to go with you on that one.
Come on, guys. Pick an author. Any author. We know this is Star Wars now.
Oh, I'm so bad at this.
Because we've been seeing a lot of the author, like, especially with From a Certain Point of View. A ton of authors got brought into that. Actually, there you go. Grab a copy of From a Certain Point of View and look down the title page.
Yeah, I mean, you can probably select a number of people in there who would... That's actually one I was just thinking, Saladin Ahmed.
That's actually the name I had in mind, too.
I wish we had like Preeti Chibler from Desi Geek Girls on this show, because she works in publishing and I'm sure she could rattle off a list of a dozen people who would be great fits for this.
Is she a fiction writer?
She's not a fiction writer that I'm aware of. She's she's done some some essay work, but mostly works on the publishing end of things.
Okay, I was gonna say her. Ooh, is it cheating if I say Daniel Jose Older?
Like, I mean, no, I've really
that's not.
I have really enjoyed.
Sorry,
I've really enjoyed all of the stuff he has been contributing into the Star Wars canon.
I feel like he could write an interesting Bodhi story. I know he does both YA and adult novels.
Listeners, if you've got anyone, pitch it at us, because we'd love to hear it.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm basically sitting here with fact pop in my hands now. I'm going to butcher names. I'm so sorry. I can't pronounce anyone's name correctly. What about Saba Tahir? She did the other... The other Sand People story.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, right...
That could be interesting.
Right about now, I'm wishing I was more plugged into the middle grade sphere, because I just... I don't have any names to pull from middle grade, because I don't know who's writing middle grade.
Yeah, I know of a couple, but like it's like I know of them because of like Twitter retweets or that person who was doing that Rick Riordan Presents when was doing an Indian mythology story. That could be an appropriate person. I wish I was better at remembering these people's names, though.
Yeah, the takeaway here is I need to read a lot more middle grade. There's a lot of good stuff there, and I'm just clueless as to who is out there writing it.
AKA, I shouldn't just, you know, ask you random questions that I think about halfway
through. Well, though, the thing is that's one of the reasons why I mentioned that the middle grade and YA books are good about bringing people in, because they're run through, you know, Disney Publishing Worldwide, which already has like a network of people, of authors of all sorts who are writing middle grade and YA already. So I'm sure that's why they have people out there that they could use.
Yeah, and for something like this, I really would hope that they'd bring in someone I haven't heard of. Just because there's so many great writers out there, especially so many great writers of South Asian descent, who would do great with a Bodhi story.
Yeah. Well, if we're talking comics, because I've decided we are talking comics as well, I would love to see Kevin Wada do some of the art.
I mean, my belief is Kevin Wada should do all the art for all the things.
I thought you were on the Phil Noto book.
Oh, he should also do all the art for all the things. They could take turns doing variants for each other.
Noto can do the interiors and Wada can do the
bingo
covers.
I'm game for that.
There you go. That would be a neat thing. Well, maybe, I mean, we might still get to see new Bodhi material. Like, I haven't entirely given up hope on that yet.
Yeah, I think there's still a chance it happens.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about out-of-universe impact. What did you guys, I mean, I don't think any of us have quite the same ties to Bodhi that we might have had to Sabine or to Iden or to Rose, given that, you know, Brian's little sister and everything. But what out-of-universe impact did you guys note that Bodhi had?
Just the outpouring of happiness from my South Asian friends, who were just thrilled to see him cast and then just ecstatic to actually see him in the film. Being able to watch that in Star Wars for a crowd that sees themselves in it less than probably we do is great.
One of the things I saw brought up was Riz Ahmed is not only South Asian, but he's specifically Pakistani, which means he's from a Muslim background as well. And one of the things I saw from folks on Twitter is that they were saying what a relief it was that a character or an actor of Muslim background was playing a character who wasn't a bad guy, who wasn't a villain, but who was actually the hero.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's something that Rogue One did a really good job with overall. Because they had so many people of color within the film, we didn't have to, like, they were all the good guys.
Yeah, and in fact, the bad guys weren't people of color at all, which was another issue entirely.
Yeah. I'll say, as far as Impact goes, I remember at Celebration that I was walking around as Afra on like Saturday of Celebration, and I just ran into the happiest Bodhi cosplayer I've ever seen. Like, cosplaying is fun and everything. I've never seen anyone having like such a time with their life being a character as I did this guy. Like, he was just like, he had his poses all set. He was just like, he might not have had the most like screen accurate costume, but he did not care. Like, you could tell he was just so thrilled to have a character who actually looked like him and who he could embody. And that clearly stuck with me, given that Celebration was such a blur.
That has been, I mean, that general thing has been one of my favorite post Disney sale things about Star Wars, is people who have never gotten to see themselves on screen suddenly getting to cosplay as a character that looks like them. And I will never, ever, ever tire of seeing it.
Same. Sorry, someone else talk for a minute. I'm adding stuff to the notes.
Sure. So, I mean, and we've seen that with so many characters. Like, we talked about Sabine and Rose and Iden, and I think and I hope it's something that's going to keep continuing on with future movies. And, you know, it can't be understated how much of an impact that has with someone's basic enjoyment. Like, I know it's not about being unable to relate to characters who are of a different ethnic background than you. That's not what it is. We all love the original trilogy. But it's just being able to feel like you're a part of a story you love so much matters a lot to people.
Yeah, and there is no way to put a proper quantification on how valuable that is. I mean, I talk all the time on how important it is for people to see themselves on screen and to have a resonance like that because you're being represented where you've never been before. And that it's Star Wars doing this is great, because it's Star Wars. People will always go see it. So yeah, why not get, why not create more of these moments?
I agree. Sorry. I was very delayed in asking Twitter for questions, so I'm adding them into the show notes right now as we go along. Yeah, we got two. One of them is from your wife.
Oh, excellent.
It was ended with, yes, I'm shocked. Being mean. So this will go well.
Thanks for the question, Nancy.
I can actually hear her.
She said, "You're welcome."
Okay, do you guys want to do questions first? Or actually, no. We're going to talk about something that I thought of while we were talking. The contrast, and this is something that doesn't just apply to Bodhi and to Rogue One, but that applies to Star Wars as a whole, where, as we noted, the bad guys were white in this film. They were very white. They were also very much guys. Except then you had, in contrast, Bodhi, who is definitely not white, but who up until we first meet him was with the Empire. And Cassian, who had been undercover with the Empire before and who goes undercover with the Empire in the movie. And no one really remarks on the fact when they're walking around the base that they're not white. So I kind of want to talk about like that contrast that we saw within the film.
Right.
Especially because, you know, no one remarks upon it. And yet.
So this brings to mind those controversial tweets about Rogue One where they're like, the Empire was a white supremacist organization. And obviously, it's clear what they were getting at, that, you know, the Empire is the bad guys and they're intolerant and everything, but it doesn't sort of make sense with the direction Star Wars was going in, not just for, you know, continuity of the books or whatever, but also in the movie itself, it you know, the fact that you're able to disguise yourself as an Imperial officer, and that's totally fine, clearly cuts against the idea that they're all, you know, white Englishmen playing, you know, being Imperials. And I don't think they wanted also the implication that someone relatively low ranking like Bodhi is the only person of color, and then all the high ranking officers were white people, because that was the sense it would give off if you weren't thinking about it. But I don't know, mixed messages all throughout that whole thing.
Yeah, definitely mixed messages throughout. Overall, I'm glad that the Empire is a white supremacist organization is something Star Wars has for the most part left behind in the 90s. But yeah, this movie had a little bit of mixed messaging on that.
It was funny to me, though, when we were talking about it in the aftermath, pun intended, that people never really would stop to think and be like, oh, well, if Bodhi's in the Empire, then they must not all be white. Unless you come back to, I think, what Jay was saying about the implications of just the higher ranking officers being white, which in turn is not great, but Star Wars?
Gold Star, you tried? I mean, it's not the greatest greatest representation out there, but on the other hand, Star Wars has done much worse in the past.
Yeah. Okay. Jay, this is up to you. Would you like to do your art corner first, or would you like to listen? I can speak English. Or would you like to answer our questions that people have told to KanjiCast?
Let's go ahead and do the art corner.
Okay, Jay, you're up, buddy. Tell us about art.
Sure. So, it's, you know, similar to what I did last time with Rose Tico, I thought, let's go into the Art of Rogue One, since it's such a wonderful book, and get some insights about Bodhi and his character, and talk about, you know, how that relates to art. When I discovered that Bodhi Rook is not in the art book, he's not in there at all, there is no concept art of him, he's not even in the books indexed, and I actually thought, this can't be right, I must be missing something. And the fact that the book has a strange order because it's in development order meant, surely he's in here somewhere. So I paged through every single page of the book and I could not find one art or illustration or mention of Bodhi Rook anywhere. So that is my art corner discussion. He's left out of everything, including the art book.
That's a huge bummer!
Okay, this is actually starting to make some things make sense then.
If he was a last-second character, yeah, I was just thinking about it. If he's a last-second character, then maybe that's why there's no supporting material made in advance about him.
Well, not supporting material, but, like, toys. Like, it makes more sense. Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't realize until recently how far the lead time is on those. Because someone said something for The Last Jedi about how the concept they came up with for Kylo's TIE fighter ended up changing how it actually looked in the movie, because the toys are so far ahead in development that if you don't get things done fast enough
So you have to lock in the design, basically?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now, I mean, it sucks, and they shouldn't... Wow.
I mean, it's just weird, because, I mean, even if he was late in development, you would have thought, because the way the... Unlike the other art books, which are like sort of by subject, this was kind of by subject, but this was mostly chronological because the development was kind of funky. So you would have thought he would have appeared somewhere near the end or something. But no, there was a lot of arts of ships and characters, and you know, there's a artwork of the whole cast, and they were very different in the beginning. Like, I remember seeing a page in the beginning of the book. There are a couple of women actually in the main cast, which I thought was interesting. Instead of just Jin. Yeah. And then they changed out around a lot of the characters, I guess, through the course of making the movie.
Huh. I mean, a part of me wonders if... Because his flight suit is an Imperial flight suit. So, I mean, there wasn't much concept, but... Wow. Because the movie doesn't happen without Bodhi.
Right, and it's not like he's like a last second. He's in scenes with all the main characters, so
yeah.
I don't remember if he was one of the people running around in the trailers. I'm pretty sure I saw him in the trailers.
He must have been, because the trailers came out well after that cast picture.
Yes, yeah, they did. So, yeah, I don't know why he wasn't in there.
That is fascinating, and an angle I had not thought about. Totally did not realize he wasn't in the art book at all.
Yeah, me neither, honestly. I want to talk about him and his outfit in Jedha, but no, he wasn't there. He is in the visual dictionary, but that's not really art, so I didn't really want to, you know, talk about that.
What did it say in the visual dictionary about him?
I don't know, because I did not check it. But I know he's in there, because I remember it from before.
Huh. Basically, Bodhi Rook deserved better than everything this film gave him.
Bodhi, buddy, I'm sorry.
Like, you deserve all the glistening, man.
Actually, I remember, because Jay, you and I saw this movie for the first time together.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that, the first things I said after I managed to stop crying over Alderaan and various Organas was that Bodhi Rook was precious and needed to be protected from the world.
Yeah. I mean,
I think I did.
A lot of people watching the movie really got attached to him. I think they called him a cinnamon bun, which I don't understand what that means, but I think it's some sort of term of endearment.
Yes, he's a cinnamon bun. He looks... I have to explain this meme to you, don't
Yes,
I?
You do.
So there's basically four categories where... Is this like looks like a cinnamon bun is actually a cinnamon bun. Looks like a cinnamon bun is a sin as an S-I-N cinnamon bun. And vice versa, all the way down to sin looks like a S-I-N is a S-I-N. So he falls in the first category of is an actual cinnamon bun, as in perfect and precious and doesn't do things wrong. Whereas Cassian probably falls into like, I don't know, something with half cinnamon bun and half sin.
What's the category that needs a hug? Because that's Cassian.
A hug from Jabba the Hutt?
He wants to experience the texture of Jabba. Oh, Cassian. I don't know. Yeah, man. Like, I really love Rogue One. I do. But it bums me out that Bodhi just deserves so much better than what he got, man.
I'm hoping the mainline Star Wars comic can do some flashback work, maybe, to give Bodhi a little more due.
Yeah, except I think they're off Jedi
crap,
now.
Are they? I'm so behind on that run.
Don't worry, I'm three issues behind as far as my
goes. So. I just spent the weekend getting caught up on Ephra, Poe Dameron, Runaways, and Ms. Marvel. I was behind on many things.
Nice. It's okay. You don't want to see my pile. But hey, we got questions, guys. People decided that they had things they wanted to tell the KanjiCast because I went on Twitter 10, 15 minutes ago and I asked them. So I'm going to go with what's the heavier question first, and that comes from Kate. And she says, what does it mean about Bodhi knowing that his home planet was occupied by a colonizing force and he joined up anyway?
Oh, God.
It's possible his family was poor and he needed
Yeah.
work. Like, that's you know, that happened a lot in India, and Pakistan was part of India under British colonial rule. Like, a lot of local kids, some of them, you know, got educations and worked in the civil service. Some of them just needed a job, and they became sepoys, right? Part of the British colonial military forces, and they were the ones enforcing the occupation of their own homeland. But then also, you know, the British used them to... you know, you would get deployed somewhere when it would be someone from another state or another ethnic group, and so they would sort of divide and conquer with sectarian, you know, things. And Jedha being a planet with a lot of different religions and a holy world, it's possible they had some of that going on too. I mean, it would have been great to see that in the story, but, you know, oh well.
I mean, he's far from the only character of color we see join the Empire, because it's sort of seen as their only way out or upwards in a way, like... Sienna. Wasn't her home planet occupied, basically?
It was a former separatist world, right? And so when the Empire arrived, you know, she was all excited, but there was that scene where she mentioned a lot of the older people were not very happy about it. So we get the impression that, you know, it's not a friendly occupation.
Yeah.
Oh, now I just want to hug Bodhi more. Poor guy.
Bodhi needs all of the hugs.
He
All
really
of them.
Does.
And now, do you want your wife's kind of mean question?
Sure.
Where would Bodhi have ended up had he not died on Scarif? Short version is apparently all of us hugging him, but I don't think that's a valid thing.
He would have piloted the first Rebel transport off of Hoth.
I love this answer. Hope,
but I like that.
I love this answer. He is the first transport that got away.
That's a good one. I'm going to steal mine from fan art that I've seen on Tumblr that came out not too long after Rogue One was out, where you have a much older Bodhi who's with the Resistance and who, after the events of The Force Awakens, or maybe during the events of The Force Awakens, sits down with Finn and talks to him about what it's like to be a defector when the bad organization was all you knew all your life.
Oh. I love that. Now I want to hug both of them.
Everyone in Star Wars needs a hug, apparently.
It's really true.
But yeah, that's my answer. And I'm
I like that answer. I'm going to go with that.
But they're all dead. And I feel like you should just...
Alas.
Hang on, I need to head off. Sorry, I need to jump off for a second.
Okay. I was about to wrap it up and make Jay talk about what he's doing next.
Oh, fantastic. The joys of podcasting live.
Yeah. Are you going to edit this part out?
I don't know. I think I should leave it in just because it's so colorful and so us.
It really is.
We were so close to rapping, Jay.
Damn it. He's probably having to get a fancy hat delivered.
Oh boy. Yeah, for those who can't see my screen, which is all of you, Jay's handle on Zencaster right now is Fancy Hats and Art.
Because Jay.
So on brand, Jay. So on brand. Well, I mean, I guess while we're waiting for Jay, we can talk about other things that we're up to that you can look forward to.
Sure. You mean like other podcasts that we do?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I started, after like 2 years of talking about it, the Vongcast with Rocky and Megan. We started that last month, and we are recording an episode next week to talk about the second book in the series. So if you have read The New Jedi Order and you want to reread it with us, you should do it. If you haven't read The New Jedi Order, you should read it along with us and experience those 19 books of crazy emotions and feels. Also, Aaron Alston.
Yes. And his two.
I'm back, by the way.
Oh, hello. Welcome back. We were stalling for time. We're actually going to leave.
All right.
Yeah, we're leaving all of that in just because it was so amusing.
We talked about, did you have to go get a fancy sign for a fancy hat delivery?
No, I actually had to take a call from abroad, which meant probably I should pick it up.
Was it from your hat person abroad?
No. Alas, my hat supplier is not calling me.
Darn, I was wrong.
Alas.
Brian, do you want to plug your other podcast real quick since I got to do mine?
How much time do we got? I am now the game manager on Of Dice and Droids. Tom is awesome, and unfortunately his awesomeness means he's a little too busy to GM for us. We're going to be coming back soon with season 2. The first adventure is called Diplomats of Pluma, and hence it features Jay's Percival and Fancy Hats.
Excellent.
Hats. I am also the host of The Mouse Droid. We got a new episode coming up soon talking about our recent trip for Star Wars Day at Sea, and we are relaunching TSR this week. It's going to be an all-new format, a little less Star Wars, a little more general geek culture.
Very nice.
Jay, anything you want to plug?
I will actually plug not my work, but I will, since you mentioned Miss Marvel, I will plug Miss Marvel because it's about a Pakistani American, and that's actually related to Riz Ahmed being, you know, an English Pakistani person. So hey, read Miss Marvel. It's really cool.
Yes, please do. I just got caught up on all of the issues, and it might be my favorite ongoing of anything out there. It is so good, and the world would be a better place if we all read it.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Backtracking a little bit, because I was going to ask for any last thoughts about Bodhi before Jay had to go take a phone call, because he's super important. So, last thoughts on Bodhi. Go.
He's a perfect cinnamon roll and needs a hug from everyone.
He should have stayed loyal. He might have even had gotten some red stripes if he did.
Ugh, Jay.
Why are you like this?
Someone has to be.
Okay, well, my last thoughts on Bodhi are that I really, really loved him. He also needs a hug, and I wish this we've gotten more of him, basically, both out of universe and more stories about him. I'm really, really hoping that Star Wars does that one day. And if no one else has any more thoughts, we're going to jump back to the wrapping things up.
This is my part, right?
No, not yet. Because we're it is not right. yet. I still have like three more sentences, which I'm going to divide
you
up
do
with Jay.
You do not cede the floor yet.
No, it's fine. We're fine. Everything's fine. All right. So you should all join us next month when we do our next episode, when we're going to be talking about Jay. What are we going to be talking about next month?
We are going to be talking about the wonderful world of cultural appropriation and Star Wars. When is it okay? When is it not okay? And how much of there is there? Because there's a lot.
Oh, boy, howdy, how much time we have.
It's going to be an episode, that's for sure. So if you guys have any questions, don't forget, you can always send them to us for a future episode, or just want to chime in or tell us anything about this episode and any of the other ones you've listened to, tweet them to us via the Tasha Station account. And Brian, now it's your turn.
Okay, this episode of the ConchiCast has been brought to you in part by you, our Patreon subscribers. Head over to patreon.com/TashiStation, and that is what you can use to join our Slack team at the $1 level. $5 gets you some other cool bonus stuff. Helps us keep the lights on all the podcasts we got here. We are a part of the Tashi Station Network. You can subscribe to the Tashi Station Radio Mega Feed for all of our great shows. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. You can find Jay with Admiral Jello, Bria with Chaos Bria. I'm Lane Winry, LaneWinree. Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. Like I said, we're available on the Tashi Station Radio Mega Feed on the iTunes Store, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next month to talk all about cultural appropriation.